So we're going to call this Chumash slash Hashkafa. It is Thursday, so we can call it to hide behind Chumash. That's something that I think goes way beyond just the Chumash books. They do a very famous part. All the Darshanim say it. I'm not going to have a chance to give a drush and shul to Shabbos. I've been giving Friday afternoon drushes over Zoom to my shul, but I probably said this word many, many times, Pashas Nasa. It's very Pashas Nasa, Shabshat. Famous question about, first the Torah spells out each of the Nisim independently, then the Torah lumps them all together, and he adds all the numbers, and the Medrash says, by golly, all the numbers added up. Tremendous chishul. If you add 10 plus 10 plus 10 plus 10, do it 12 times, you can end up with 120. That's such a grandiose chiddush. I mean, come on, right? Barak, I mean, you know how to do math, that should work, right? So the Medrash falls like it's like startling. Wow, by golly, all the gold added up. Gee, great. So all the Darshan say the same basic story. It's much, much more profound than that. Each Gnostic is an individual. Each Shevet has certain individual qualities and characteristics to it. And it's really a tremendous chiddush when you deal with 12 individuals that they not only end up able to function together, they're able to function a cohesive unit. Take 12 different people who are different, who have different bashofas, different ashkofas, different mahalakhs, different personalities, and have them fuse and merge together to become one. That's amazing. And that was really the concern of Yaakov Avinu way, way back before Yaakov Avinu embarked upon his mission, in a certain sense, the most important mission of his life, was to create the Shiftei Koach, to create the 12 Shvatim. So he himself had that hesitation, am I really going to succeed? It's so hard to take different people and not have them fight with one another, respect one another. We have to work together, even though they are different. That's the imagery that Medrash speaks about. Yeah, it takes the 12 stones, and then they become one stone. What does that mean? Again, it's 12 stones, one stone. It's the same word. The Yaakov realizes, that they can be different. His children are not going to be the same. Reuven's Keches and Ephraim are not the same as Yisrael. It's not the same as Yosef. It's not the same as Yehuda. Everyone's going to bring something else to the table. But Kach is the Emisha, some of Rosh Yosef, to be able to take 12 and merge into one. It's an amazing, amazing. That was the Bekosh Yaakov Avinu had, and that was ultimately reached the fulfillment at the time of the Hakamas HaMishkan, and the 12 Nesiim, different as they were actually able to work. You know, we very, very often hear these grandiose speeches about Achdus in Klal Yisrael, and Achdus is very, very important. There's no question about it. But we have to be careful that Achdus is not a justification for accepting certain things that are not part of what Torah Mitzvah is all about. Achdus, again, we're not talking about being disrespectful, we're not talking about, you know, yelling and screaming, we're not talking about that. But Achdus and 12 Shvatim, Shim Parma Torah, which are beautiful and wonderful, they're all true, but Gvul Yesh Bedar, there are 12 Shvatim, there aren't 25 Shvatim. There are different Mahalchim, different Yerachim, and Avedis Hashem, but there are certain things that are out of bounds of being part of Derech Avedis Hashem. And that should not be misinterpreted under the great, quote-unquote, umbrella of Achdus. It's a very, very fine line. It's an avodah kasha. And unfortunately, very often, people miss the boat on both ends. There are people who make terrible, terrible mistakes in the realm of, in the name of Achdus, and there are people who make terrible, terrible mistakes in the realm of drawing siyagim and gedarim and saying, no, you're out of bounds. I was interested to take a look at the Netziv Zagdom to Chumash, where the Netziv talks about, he thinks that that was the challenge at the end of Bang Sheni. The Chazal Gittin speaking about the Sinas Chinon, that the Zohar speaks about how Bang Sheni was brought down the Sinas Chinon. So the Netziv raised the question, what did happen all of a sudden? At that time in history, there was so much Sinas Chinon. So the Netziv explains that it was almost an outgrowth of some of the other problems that were taking place in Bang Sheni. There were many, many groups of Aishani that had crossed the line of what was considered to be an acceptable Mahalach and Avodas Hashem. You had groups of Tzedukim and Baisusim, other Minim, other groups, other philosophies that were running rampant in Klal Yisrael at the time that were misrepresenting a life of Torah, misrepresenting Yiddishkeit is. And when you have those groups that are clearly chutz l'machne, Tzedukim are not, and except they're not a 12th shevet. By Susim are not a 12th shevet. The early Minim, we all know who they were not a 12th shevet. They were chutz l'machne. And when you have a philosophy that's chutz l'machne, so you have to draw boxes, you have to draw lines in the sand. It says in Mitzvah, there's a tremendous danger when you get into the habit of drawing lines in the sand. So what unfortunately ends up happening is that you may end up drawing those lines in the wrong place. And people who are legitimate within the in the correct boundaries are sometimes put out of those boundaries, are set out of bounds, and that in turn creates tremendous, tremendous possibilities for Sinas Chum. And the Mitzvah writes, and the Mitzvah is writing this in the late 1800s, or mid-1800s in Europe, where this problem was a very real problem, that there were certain philosophies that were being espoused that were chutz l'machne. There were certain ideas that were being presented that were just not acceptable, just not part of who we are. On the other hand, people were creating those boundaries and unfortunately moving those boundaries in places where they didn't exist and shouldn't exist. And people who may have been espousing other ideas that were not chutz l'machne were being branded as the it's right. Everyone becomes an epicurus. I don't agree with you. You're a stuki. I don't believe you're a kusi. You're a baisusi. You're a karai. You're a kaifer. You're an epicurus. You're a kifatayra. Not everybody who disagrees with your malach and Hashem is an epicurus, as it is. And you have to walk that. There are some people who are epicurus. And you have to identify those philosophies. It's such, again, how to deal with that and how to present that in a world of Kiddush Hashem, for Hashem, and, you know, and not creating, you know, unnecessary kinds of other negativities. That's also umnus. A very kosher mitzvah. But certain philosophies are chutz l'machne, but many others aren't. And it's a challenge. It's a challenge to be able to navigate that between the two. I think we've given the marshal many, many times that we pointed out that when you have like machloksim, you have disagreements. So there are different daragras of what I subscribe, when I subscribe to the other dissenting view. Sometimes, sometimes the other view is a perfectly legitimate halachic hashkafa view. It may be very different from my halacha hashkafa view, and that's okay. The Shalami still argued about some very serious things. There were some serious shilas that the Shalami said where Yisurei Karis, Torah Sabas, I think, back to the Abomas days. Torah Sereba, certain things that were Yisurei Karis that the Shalami helped with mixing their ice thing. A lot of issues, some very, very heavy duty issues. And there are heavy-duty issues in Ashkofa and Ashkofa also. And there are certain things that fall into the category and rubric of Eliel Deulakim Chaim that I can't even say, if he was wrong, I could say that according to my understanding of Torah, I'm not subscribing, I can't call it wrong. Then there are other times when I have a quote-unquote machlokes with somebody and I really believe that if he was wrong, I may be wrong in my assessment of you, but if he was wrong. Now, not every view that's wrong is automatically kfira. If somebody can say something that's just wrong, it's wrong. There's no justification for it. There's no legitimate approach to it. It doesn't meet the criteria. It's just partial dead wrong, but that doesn't make you into a kofir. Not every Torah is a kofir. Then there's the third category. The third category is when your views that are being espoused have crossed the border of epicursus. We're in the realm of Tvila. How do you know whether something's crossed the border of epicursus? It's sugyas. The same way we learn a sugya of Bas L'chol. You have to define what Bas L'chol the bishul is. You have to define what's Tvila. So the Rambam wrote his famous klal as to you give me kari amuna. So that's been generally accepted again. You may even have slight nuances as to what's included in that. Is this person really a kofer? The Mashiach? I don't want to talk about the details right now. There are svarim and sugyas and many, many different whole literature in terms of the longness and the sugyas of the Yigimli Koryam. But the Ikaron, we all subscribe to the basic Yisraeli's Amunah. The person says that Torah is not an Ashanayim, that's not a legitimate opinion. It's not just not an Elevator of the Chaim, it's not even a wrong position, it's a clear position. A person says that he doesn't believe in the Chesed, so that's Chutzmach. He doesn't believe in the Rabban Shalom, that's not Elevator, you know, an acceptable possible position not to believe in the Rabban. Those things are out of bounds. But just because other things are not much dead wrong, a person comes up with some crazy, convoluted, quote-unquote, tshuva, so to speak, in halacha, it's dead wrong on 15 different counts. He missed this maimon, that maimon, he misquoted the rabbi, misquoted the shulchan aruch, made believe that, couldn't make the gemara, he came up with some ridiculous conclusion that's mamish dead wrong. Okay, so he said, Tanya, to the best of my knowledge, the mitzvah halacha chavurcha chavais with Tanya also, that's not a mafkia, but that's not called. Doesn't mean there are certain very, very specific things that put you mamish chutz l'machin. So we have to be very, very careful. And when we have other views that are presented, we have to identify, and if we don't know how to identify, it's kishayla, same way Yeshua's boss b'chol, to identify which views are chutz l'machin, which views are b'machin, but are mamish wrong, which one's a legitimate expression of plan. It's very important not to make a mistake in this area because we don't have, I can't say, I'm very, very machmir. I'm going to treat everything as a chashash rapi karsus. That's not acceptable. That's what the tzitz says. It's a din by shenim that caused him to be a mikdash. So we can't say that everything, you have to figure out what is and what's not. So, on the other hand, you can't, is it the other way? I'm going to be super duper machmir on not being, I'm so down with chaschos, I'm not going to be judging any hashkofa, but then, oh, my sense of hypnosis, you have to know how to deal with it. Again, I'm not saying scream at a roof, I'm not putting people in the chayim right now, but you have to identify in your mind which makshav, which hashkof, which opinions are out of the bounds. So, we don't have much wiggle room. You know, it's like Reb Chaim, and the Yisrael Chaim, why he was so machmir. And why was there so making chul Shabbos for chayilim? He said, "I'm not making chul Shabbos in my mind, but nefesh." So you know, it's an area of, I can't take the yad. It'll be very, very mach in one area. You have to find what the emes is, and there may be certain spaces, there may be certain gray areas. You have to figure out how to treat what the correct mahalachat Torah is in treating these kinds of gray areas. So a kopanim. It starts with the mishnah. It starts with the nesiim. That yes, it's a very, very important Torah. Achdus and klatzos is a very, very important Torah. And the reality is that there are different Mahalchim and Avodas Hashem is a true Torah concept. And the different Mahalchim and Avodas Hashem can work and work together in a very, very positive unison to advance Avodas Hashem in this world. That's also a very, very true Torah concept. Are there certain things that are chutz l'machne? Yes, it's also a true Torah concept. Now you have to take a lot of true Torah concepts and figure out how to plug the problem. That's what we do all day. That's what learning is all about. So hopefully we learn more, understand more. We don't have to ask people, you know, who maybe have a better tfisa in the sugya. Try to understand what a mahalacha chayim should be in terms of all of the proper maneuvering of all of these very, very important concepts. Okay? So basically, we'll wish everyone a wonderful Shabbos. What is our schedule for Sundays? I'm afraid to raise that question. I'll tell you the two parts. Traditionally, Jews might not meet on Sundays, but this is far from traditional. One of the reasons why Jews might never met on Sundays was we could turn off the recording.